The last week of Jesus' life is known as Passion Week, and the plants tell the story. We've looked at tares and palms, and tonight we'll think a little bit about thorns. It says that then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. Now, what's the significance of the thorns? When we think about thorns, if you notice, there's just a little piece of it there. About 2 to 3 inches long, and the crown of thorns and the scarlet robe were used as a means of humiliating him. He claimed to be a king, and it was a means of mocking him and treating him with contempt. In the Bible, thorns also represent a divine curse. When we think of thorns, we think of a divine curse. But it says to Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you." Ever try to take a thistle out of the ground? If you've ever had to deal with thistles in your yard, you know that they're not fun to deal with. But when you see a thistle growing up, you can remember that God, when God says something will happen, it happens. It's not just the land that's cursed, though, in the Bible. It's the people are cursed as well. The Old Covenant places a curse. The Old Covenant places a curse on everyone who doesn't do everything the law commands. The curse of the law is upon everyone who disobeys it. Paul writes, "All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.'" If we do mostly good things, we don't have to worry about being under the curse of the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not so. When it says we need to do everything, everything that the law tells us to do. Oh, but surely if we don't do really bad things, we don't need to worry about being under the curse of the law. And what James says is, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." When it comes to trying to dodge the curse of the law, in order to do that, we need to keep it perfectly. God doesn't judge on a curve. The law doesn't judge on a curve, actually. It's pass-fail. And to pass, you have to keep all of it. And if you don't keep all of it, then what it says, that there's a curse that comes upon everyone who doesn't keep everything that the law commands us to obey. Since we've disobeyed, we're under the curse of the law. That means, second point, the curse of the law is upon everyone who disobeys it. And Jesus experienced the law's curse so that we wouldn't need to. That's why he comes. So he experiences the law's curse so that we don't need to. It says in the Old Testament, if a man guilty of a capital offense is put to death and his body is hung up on a tree, you must not leave his body on the tree overnight, because anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse. The people who wanted to kill Jesus had a problem. And the problem was that people regarded him as being sent by God. They knew he was God, and those who wanted to eliminate him, if they killed him, they would still have a problem, because the people would still think that he was God. So what they needed to do was find a way to kill him and turn people against him. And they had to do both of those things in order to be successful. They came up with a solution. And the solution was this. They couldn't just kill Jesus. They had to crucify him. Because Jesus needed to be crucified because being hung on a tree, and that's kind of what happens when you're crucified, being hung on a tree meant being under God's curse. That's what it meant. And that's what it regarded, that's what it says in Deuteronomy. So, if Jesus dies on a cross, then people are going to look at him and they're going to have to say, wow, he really can't be from God, because anyone who is hung on a tree is under God's curse, and he's under a curse, and I guess that means he's not God, because God can't be under a curse. And Jesus experienced the law's curse so that we wouldn't need to. It says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So the curse of the law is on everybody who disobeys it. Jesus comes to experience the curse of the law so that we don't need to. A curse that has been fulfilled no longer has power. A curse is powerful until the point where the curse is delivered, and then the curse loses its power. It's powerful as long as it doesn't hit its target. When it hits its target and expends what it is that it promises to do, then at that point, it's no longer powerful. So if someone drinks the cup of the law's curse, if someone comes to drink the cup of the law's curse with your name on it, and the cup is empty, it represents the curse of the law, but if it's already been consumed by someone, if Jesus can drink the cup that is the curse, if he drinks that cup, if he ingests that curse, the curse that's meant for us, then the curse loses its power because it's already claimed a victim. And that's why Jesus comes and does what he does. If someone drinks the cup of the law's curse with your name on it, there's no longer anything in your cup to drink. Even though you've and I have not kept the law perfectly and deserve or under the law's curse, but the law's curse has been satisfied. Jesus took it. Jesus drained the cup of the curse of the law. That's what he comes to do. Jesus also experienced the law's curse so that we could experience God's blessing. Actually, there's two cups. The cup of the law's curse and the cup of God's blessing. Jesus drank this one, the cup of the law's curse. And now he extends to us this one. We can drink of the cup of God's blessing. It says he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Two cups. There's the cup of the curse of the law that is reserved for everyone who doesn't keep everything that the law man commands us to do. And then there's the cup of God's blessing. Jesus drank the first one so that we could drink the second. This is what communion is all about. It says, The cup of blessing that we bless. Let's talk about the cup of blessing. Remember, there's two cups. Whoop, there's one. There's the cup of the curse, and it's gone. It's gone. It's disappeared. There's the cup of the curse of the law, then there's the cup of cup of God's blessing. The first one's empty. This one, we get to drink. The cup of the blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? You know what communion is? It's a time to think about what happened at the cross. You know what happened at the cross? He drank the cup of the law's curse, and he rose so that he could offer to us the cup of God's blessing. I'd like you to do this, and we'll talk about it a little bit. Go get the elements. Go on a table in the back, get the juice and get the bread, and then we'll finish up. Go ahead. What did we learn? The curse of the law is upon everybody who disobeys it. All of us have disobeyed the law. We need to keep it perfectly in order to avoid. So the curse of the law is on us all. Jesus experienced the law's curse, drained the cup so that we wouldn't have to. Jesus experienced the law's curse so that we could experience God's blessing, and that means that Jesus experienced the curse of the old covenant so that we could experience the blessing of the new covenant. He says, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Well, we get to drink it because we get to receive this blessing because Jesus drained the first one, which represents the curse. And now we get to drink this. Communion is a time to thank him. And what he tells us to remember this, he wants us to continue to remember this. And you know what it means? God's not angry at you. There is a curse for disobedience. All you have to do is just break one thing in the law, and then that curse rests on you. And there's only one way to step out from that. Somebody's got to drain the cup, and Jesus did that. The cup of the law is cursed. And so now, and he did that so he could offer this to us. He, his broken body and his blood, what that's about? It's about us being able to drink from this. The cup, the blessing of the new covenant. Take and drink in remembrance of him and eat. Thank you, Father, for sending your son and for what he was able to accomplish. He took the curse of the law and then took it out of the way, drained the cup to the bottom. And now we get to drink the cup of blessing. It's an eternal blessing. You're not mad at us. Things have been taken care of. Thank you for that. And thanks for the opportunity to celebrate it and to continue to remember it week, month after month after month, in Jesus' name. Amen.